Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. I like this wireless microphone. Because if you've ever heard me preach, you'll notice I walk around a lot. But with this, I can wave my arms too. I don't know if any of you have been listening to the messages I've been doing over at St. Barnabas, but through the season of Lent, I was spending some time talking about people that encountered Jesus during his ministry. And since Easter, I've been talking about some people that Jesus encountered after the resurrection and the lessons that we can learn from them. And today, I wanted to talk to you for a minute about one of these men. His name was Thomas. And what is he known for? Does anybody know? Doubting. I think he got a bum rap on that, though. Our scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. And as you get your Bibles out, I want to remind you, make sure I'm telling the truth. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. So we know Thomas as the doubter. We know him as the doubter. Has anyone here ever doubted? I have. When I was growing up, see, I grew up in the church. My parents dragged me, that's fair to say, dragged me to church every Sunday when I was a kid. And there was some point, probably when I was about 12 years old, where I started asking questions. Before then, I just believed everything they told me. But when I was around 12, maybe, I started asking questions about the time I got into middle school. Because some things just started to not make sense. And what really bothered me, though, was I would ask these questions, and they seemed like perfectly reasonable questions to me. But I was told to stop asking questions. The pastor and the youth pastor at the church I was going to at the time, I don't think they had the answers. Because they couldn't answer what I thought must have been simple questions, especially for somebody who ought to know the answers. And I figured that the pastor and the youth pastor should know the answers to the questions I was asking. So I started looking in other places for answers, and unfortunately, I found answers, but they were the wrong answers. But that's not the point. The point is, I had questions and was looking for answers. We all have questions, and we look for answers. We talk to the pastor. We talk to our Sunday school teachers. Hopefully, we look for answers here rather than some other places, because as we know, has anyone here ever gotten a bad answer? Yeah? Answers that make no sense? We've even been given answers, I'm sure, that have just been plain wrong. Was Thomas wrong to doubt? I don't think he was. See, I'm a skeptic. I question a lot of things. And there's a lot of things that I see evidence for that I just flat out don't believe. I know one of the big things, one of the big trends that's going on today on television is there's a lot of these shows about the paranormal. And you know what? Some of them are pretty funny. There's this one show Robin and I have been watching a little bit. It's Ghost Adventures. If you've ever seen this, these guys are hilarious. They're as dumb as rocks. And they're funny. There are three guys, and they go into a supposedly haunted location and tease the ghosts. And it's really funny. My favorite is the guy, Aaron, because he's always scared, but he's always going back. And he gets this beautiful look on his face. Anytime there's the slightest noise, he just gets so scared. But I feel bad for them, because they're wrong. Now, I'm not going to discount the possibility that paranormal things happen, but I don't think that they're the things that these guys think they are. I don't believe in ghosts, apart from the Holy Ghost. I don't believe that people's souls linger in the world after a person dies. When a person dies, they either go to heaven or they don't. If these guys are encountering something, it's something else. I do believe in that something else. I have doubts about things. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to wonder. I mean, even as I've said before, as a kid, I had questions and I doubted about some things about God. I don't think it was wrong for Thomas to say, I need to see it. There's a saying, seeing is believing. Has anyone here seen Jesus? Does anyone here believe in Jesus? We believe without seeing him. But we've seen evidence, have we not? We've seen miracles, have we not? We've heard stories from people. We've had the opportunity to see things that other people don't see. And yet, some people see the same things we have seen, and they don't believe. So why do we? I think it really comes down to issues of faith. We say we believe in Jesus. We say we believe in God without ever seeing him, but with seeing the evidence. Seeing evidence we've seen. And I tell you the truth, you know, you look outside, the sun's shining. It's a beautiful day out today. I can see that as evidence of God. I know he's there. And as I look back, I kind of noticed that in my life, even when I was questioning, for some reason I never stopped believing in God. I kind of knew he was there. My questions were, what was he? And I wasn't sure about Jesus at times. But now I am. God asks us to believe in him, clearly, but he does not ask us to believe blindly. He asks us to believe as a child. We've all heard that. Have you ever been around a child? They ask questions. I think I'm very fortunate as a father. Ruby never really was like that. Actually, until recently, every once in a while, I think she wants to get on my nerves because she'll just start asking why. As an answer to everything. I know that usually happens. When does that usually happen? When they're around 3 or 4? Somewhere like that. They just, why? You tell them and they say, why? And you tell them and they say, why? And it can go on forever. But every once in a while, I get that now. And it's okay. To tell you the truth, sometimes I do the same thing. Sometimes when I'm praying, do you ever have that question when you're praying? Why? Why? Why is this? Why me? I think that's probably the number one prayer in the world. Why me? You see, Thomas was one of the 12. He was there with Jesus probably from very close to the beginning of his ministry and saw countless miracles, countless wonders. He was right there. He heard all of the teachings. And still, I need to see. Prove it to me. Prove to me that he came back. He got his proof. And he was satisfied. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That would be us. You see, we've seen other things. I think one of the big questions I often get is, I've often been asked the question, how is it you can believe in God? And that's a hard answer. That's a hard question to answer, isn't it? Because you try to explain faith to someone in terms of the fact that, you know, we've seen and we've heard. There are things we know. We know these things in our heart, do we not? It's more than just feeling something. It's more than just thinking, well, maybe this happened. We know these things. And we have the opportunity to share them. Our faith is not blind. Perhaps as children, they were. But as our children grow, they ask questions. There are things that at some point stop making sense. Have you ever found that recently? You're looking at something and it just, something you thought about for the longest time, just accepted, and then suddenly something doesn't make sense. I know Ruby seems to understand the Trinity better than I do. You know, you try to explain to a grown-up, okay, one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all still God. He appears in these three ways. You tell that to a kid, okay, explain that to a grown-up. Try understanding it yourself. I honestly don't have a total grip on that, but I accept it. Part of my faith. I can't prove it. I can't disprove it. But it's one of those things I accept. I don't think I accept it blindly, though, because I've seen enough of God to know He's there. I've studied Scripture enough to know that a lot of it is verifiable. There's a lot of stories in the Old Testament that archaeology has proven these things happened. I've got enough proof of enough of it, I can accept the rest. You may not be to that point. You may never reach that point. And that's okay. Believe me, it's okay to question. It's okay to question anything a preacher tells you. But don't just ask the question, look for the answer. There are all kinds of preachers out there who are preaching things that are not the truth. Woe upon them. More people need to question them. More people need to look for the right answers. That's why it's important that you get your Bibles out and you look at them when a preacher is preaching. That includes me. That includes Pastor Tom. It includes Pastor Ed. It includes anybody who's going to teach any Sunday school class you're listening to. It includes any of those guys who are on TV or the radio today. People need to question them. Woe upon them if they're not, shut them off if they're not. Woe upon them if they don't tell the truth. Woe upon me if I don't tell you the truth. I expect to be called to task. Question. Ask questions and find answers. That's what Thomas did. And yet, we give him he gets a bad rap for it. He's going to go down in history, always known as Doubting Thomas. One mistake. I don't think it was even really a mistake. He just asked a question. He just wanted proof. Show me. It's like in high school geometry. I hated geometry in high school. That was probably the least favorite math class I ever took. I loved math, but there was just something about geometry because you had to prove these two lines are parallel. Well, look at them! One goes this way and one goes this way and they're the same distance all the way. It's obvious. They never accepted it's obvious as an answer in geometry class. It doesn't matter how obvious it was, it's obvious was not the answer. I tried. They wanted proof. We want proof. It's human nature to want proof. So what I will encourage you to do now, from now on, look for proof. Ask questions. Find answers. You may have to look for the answers yourself. You may have to turn to someone else for them. that's okay. We all need to turn to someone else for answers now and then. But it's okay. And let's try to remember Thomas for something else. Or at least remember his doubts in a good light. Amen.